Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome to Awakening Self Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Connie Habash. And today we have a very special guest, someone who I've been getting to know recently and been blessed to know, Amy Lansky, who I didn't know. I was introduced to a number of years ago by reading her book, Impossible Cure. She's also the author of Active Consciousness, which is an exploration of consciousness, spirituality, meditation, and the evolution of human awareness. And I'm so excited today to be exploring together with Amy homeopathy and synchronicity. So please welcome Amy Lansky.
Hi, Connie. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
Oh, I'm so glad. I remember back in, I guess it was, it's been about 2008 or so, when I first took my daughter to see a well-known homeopath here in the Bay Area. And I didn't really know much about homeopathy at the time. And he said, well, read this book. And it was your book, Impossible Cure. And it was the perfect introduction and also very inspiring about how you cured your son, Max, of autism with homeopathy. And so I know a lot of our listeners are fascinated with this, but may not know much about homeopathy. So perhaps you could briefly describe, what is the premise behind this natural healing method?
Yes. I was just like you. I didn't know much about homeopathy until I experienced it. The greatest miracle we've ever had when my son Max was cured of autism under the treatment of a homeopath. At the time, I was a computer scientist at I have a PhD in computer science. I was doing research work here in Silicon Valley. So, something like homeopathy seemed pretty implausible, and yet it had transformed my son's life and our life, too. So I started studying it, and I learned a lot about it, and I felt like I had to let everybody know. So I wrote Impossible Cure, which is really a general introduction to homeopathy. Which includes the story of my son and other stories, too. So and what I learned, the underlying philosophy of homeopathy really makes it one of the most scientific modes of medicine there is. In conventional medicine, people sort of just use whatever works through experience. But there's not a single principle that determines what medicine you give to a person. But in homeopathy, the word homeopathy actually defines what homeopathy is, how it's practiced. So the word has two parts, homeo, which means similar, and pathy, which means suffering. So homeopathy means similar suffering. And that determines how people are treated. So it's based on this law called the law of similars. And what that says is that if a medicine can cause the symptoms, a certain set of symptoms, and not just physical symptoms, mental, emotional, behavioral symptoms. And let's say now a person is suffering from those same symptoms, then this substance can actually cure them. An example I often use is coffee, because we all know what coffee does to us. It makes us excited, alert, wakeful, happy, and sometimes physical symptoms too, like heart palpitations or diarrhea. So if you are experiencing insomnia of that type, in other words, you can't fall asleep because you're so excited and alert and awake, like let's say after an exciting evening, then a remedy made from coffee might be the correct remedy to cure your insomnia. But if your insomnia has a different pattern, then that might not be the right remedy. And then I'll say one other thing. In addition to the law of similars, you know, you wouldn't actually drink coffee to fall asleep. You would take a remedy made from coffee, and that's the other more controversial part of homeopathy, which is that the remedies are extremely diluted, and they're prepared in a certain way that involves both dilution and vigorous shaking. And this manages to transmit the energy of the substance into the dilution to the point where even if there's not a molecule left in the water of the coffee, there's still some energetic signature vibration of the coffee in the water. And in fact, the more this is done, the more potent the remedy is, the more precise and deep the signal is. And in fact, in the past 10, 20 years, there's even been scientific studies that have shown that distinct signatures of different remedies in these highly dilute dilutions can be picked up and distinguished from each other.
Yeah, it's fascinating because from what you're saying, homeopathy is energetically based. It's not something based on an actual substance like a lot of medications, of course, are derived from a particular element of a plant that they've identified that one signature in the plant and then they just make the medicine out of that one part. But this is really an energetic property, and so that makes sense to me now why you're seeing homeopathy and synchronicity on the same page, so to speak. So talk a little bit about synchronicity, how you define that. I know how I kind of think of it, and the similarities between homeopathy and synchronicity.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Why don't I start with, I'll define what synchronicity is, and what I want to lead up people to think about is that homeopathy is really a form of medicine that works because of the principle of synchronicity. This is what I'm hypothesizing that you think about.
Okay.
So, what is synchronicity? Well, the term was coined by Carl Jung, the famous psychiatrist, when he noticed that events and physical things in the environment that have similar meaning tend to coincide in time and space. So the classic story is that he was talking to a patient about a dream that had particular symbolism that was related to her mental state, and the dream had the symbol of the scarab beetle, and then he heard a rapping on the window and opened the window, and this beetle flew into the room. And so that perfectly illustrates the idea that they were in this kind of what I like to call a field of meaning that surrounded this patient's issues, and this meaning was symbolically related to the Egyptian meaning of the scarab beetle, and that brought her dream in, and then that actually brought the physical beetle into the room as well. So the general principle is that things with similar meaning, and by extension, I'm going to say similar vibration, tend to be attracted to one another so that they coincide in time and space. Another example of that is, let's say, if somebody's watch stops ticking the moment they die, or something similar. Or if you're just in your daily life, if you're very upset, and then suddenly you notice that all the electrical things in your house start breaking, you know. So there's a coincidence in time and space of a similar feeling or vibration. So in homeopathy, what we're doing now is that the law of similar says if you have a medicine that carries a certain meaning or vibration to it, and then you have a patient in that same state, and now if you bring them together, now in this case you're bringing them together intentionally, then healing will result. Now that's pretty amazing if you think about it, that by sticking two things that are similar to each other, that suddenly there'll be a dramatic shift. You know, the body has been, let's say, in a state of that's chronically ill with a certain pattern and can't get unstuck, and now suddenly you find something in nature, can be a plant, a mineral, an animal, and you prepare it in this certain way that captures its energetic vibration, and you put it inside the body of that person, and suddenly the body will go, oh, okay, and then shift out of this chronic state of disease. And I've seen it so many times. It's not even chronic disease, can be acute, just, you know, the flu or whatever. And when you get it really precisely, the shifts can be sometimes instantaneous, not always, but sometimes, and miraculous, like you just can't even believe it, where like an ear infection will just stop dead in its tracks, or vomiting that had been going on for a couple days just stop. You know, I've seen this happen.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm recalling something interesting and similar in my psychotherapy practice, is that what I find is the most effective in helping someone move through something, for example, like depression or fear, is actually having them go into that emotion and be with it and feel it and invite it in, which is not what people typically want to do, right? They want to, okay, stay busy, right? Like, go away from it. Do something happy. Cheer yourself up, you know? But what you're talking about is a very similar principle. If someone's having a symptom, say, of fever, and you give them a remedy, you know, like what? Belladonna comes to mind. I don't know a lot about it, but mm-hmm. I know I've used that for certain fevers that supposedly would create that if you actually took the plant. It's almost like the same principle of inviting in the fever so that the fever can shift by bringing that vibration of the belladonna or whatever remedy it is. Does that make sense?
That's exactly right. And in fact, you know, the principle of like psychological support groups uses the same principle. You know, you have all these, you know, addicts or whatever together, and somehow the energy creates healing. Now, it's interesting because you could take two addicts and they could co-enable one another, right? And amplify the addiction.
That's exactly the point I was speaking of, is what you said about the remedies, is that there's such a, it's only the energetic signature left, basically, of that, or vibration of that substance. That's all that's needed to create the shift. And I think the same thing is true, for example, that you gave with addicts, is you don't want to bring them together and everyone kind of like tell their war stories and then reminisce and kind of get into the wistful thinking about when my great drunk days, right? You want them to come together with a very clear intent and with only sharing what will help them move through that, rather than recapitulating the problem by, you know, increasing the vibration of it. So
right.
I think
so this...
that it's like just the right amount of, And with the right intent, psychologically, will create a shift, and I think the same thing with homeopathy.
Right. I think intention does make a difference. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this. How else could we use this principle? On the other hand, you know, there is also cases of, I mean, homeopathy is used for infants and for animals, and I also think it's true that if you were just walking down the street and you picked up the right remedy and you stuck it in your mouth, that it could also cure you. So I don't quite understand the role of intent, but I do think it's important. So, I mean, another thing from a scientific point of view to think about is, let's think of cases where people are meditating together with a similar intent. And there's been studies that show that people... I mean, they're intentionally also putting themselves together, putting themselves into a similar state of vibration and intention, and they've shown they've been able to lower the crime rates in cities, and Bill Tiller, he's a professor at Stanford, has shown that doing this kind of work actually changes the actual physical, measurable physical properties in the laboratory.
Wow.
When this kind of thing happens. So something energetically is happening. Now, I think it's really interesting to consider, like homeopaths obviously have been noticing this phenomenon for like 200 years, And so they've developed, even without benefit of modern science or these instruments, like their ideas about how the healing happens. And like I don't, would you like me to get into this? They come up with four possible things, and this could also bring us back to the topic of synchronicity, because obviously in synchronicity, you're talking about similar things of similar vibration and meaning, and homeopathy, similar vibration and meaning. But one of these explanations actually is very much has to do with synchronicity. So like the first mechanism that Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, posited was that it had to do with action and counteraction. You know, for each action, there's an opposite reaction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on a physical level, this really happens in the body. You can test it out yourself. If you put your hand in hot water and then you take it out, it will cool it. And so, that, by the way, that's why if you burn your hand, it's better to put your hand in warm water, as warm as you can tolerate for a minute, instead of cold water, because when you take your hand out, then it will cool it. If you put your hand in cold water, it will heat it. So
try and heat it. That makes sense, yeah.
So his original explanation was is you give a similar vibration, your body will react against it and remove the vibration. So if you're having diarrhea, you give something that could cause diarrhea and your body reacts and then stops the diarrhea, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, conventional medicine works the opposite way. They give you something that suppresses the symptom. So if you have diarrhea,
right,
they give you something that suppresses it, but then sometimes it can have the opposite effect after a while. It might suppress it, but then your body will get even worse. So that's why like antihistamines will suppress the inflammation in your nose, but then if you stop it, sometimes it can be even worse. So anyway, it's the opposite in homeopathy. So that's the first explanation. And I think that's a more physical explanation.
Yes.
Hello?
That makes sense. I wanted to go back to, you were talking earlier about the law of similars, and that, to me, speaks not only of synchronicity, but of the law of attraction in, for example, The Secret, you know, in a lot of spiritual teachings on manifestation. And I think we were having a conversation about this the other day. What do you see as the similarity with the law of attraction?
I don't know if so you don't want me to go on about the homeopathic explanations for why this works, but the law of attraction, I believe, works the same way as just, you know, that synchronicity is just a mechanism of the universe. I think it's like gravity or any other physical principle that like things are drawn to each other in time and space. So if you're, the way the law of attraction works with manifestation is that if you're just putting yourself completely in this mindset that I'm going to have, this is going to occur, let's say I'm going to, I don't know, whatever it is, I'm going to get the perfect job, and you imagine it and you're in that state and you're completely in that state, you're in the vibration of that state. And by this principle of synchronicity, that you will be drawn to the state in time and space where you're in that, where that is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Things will happen to you that will draw you to that moment. And so that's how it manifests ultimately. So another principle way that homeopaths think this might work is through resonance. And that's kind of like, I think, how these collective meditations work, which is you stick
mm-hmm.
all this together and then suddenly it sort of amplifies like a violin string. It amplifies the vibration and that allows the body to kind of gain strength to heal. So that could be another explanation. The third one is, I think, very interesting because it deals really directly with synchronicity. And this one was talked about a lot by this psychiatrist homeopath named Wittmont, who was actually a student of Jung. And he pointed out that sometimes he noticed among his psychiatric patients that there'll be certain physical and psychiatric symptoms that would interchange. Like somebody who is psychotic would suddenly get physically sick and their psychotic symptoms would disappear, or vice versa. And that mm-hmm. the symptoms, the physical symptoms, were often symbolic of the mental state. And so what he said, homeopathy works the same way. It's just that you're giving, the remedy is like a false disease. It's like a fake disease that comes into the system and replaces the actual disease state. So it's like you're giving the body a false disease, and it's because it's very close to its own, it adapts to that. But then because it's not real, it fades, and then they're left free. And this was another theory that Hahnemann had about it. It's kind of like in my book, Impossible Cure, I say it's like if an animal is very afraid, it's like hiding in a cave, right? And it's very afraid to come out. You might trick it, and you might put a little den or some cage or something that's like the cave, and it would get it to go in there, and then slowly disassemble that thing, and then it would be out. So you're sort of like tricking the body into leaving its state of being very rigidly in this disease state, and then slowly it comes out of it. And then there's a fourth explanation, which is that your body is in this state and it needs a piece of information. It's sort of an informational theoretic one. And this might have something to do with, you know, sort of from a physics point of view. And but let me explain it first, which is that you're in this state and you're just not of disease and you're just not getting it. And your body is like not paying attention. It can't shift. And then you give it precisely the right piece of information and say, this is happening. You are sick in this way. And then the body will go, I see it now. So it's sort of like a patient. You know, they suddenly get it. I see.
Right.
I see what I'm doing. You know, I suddenly get it. And a lot of people feel like that when they get the right remedy. They go, I've been like acting like I have this phobia that's derived from when I was a child, and you know it's ridiculous because I'm not in that state anymore. And then they can let it go. You just suddenly what your state is, you know.
Yeah, I think that explanation, going back to your example of, you know, someone in recovery maybe going to a group for that, explains why those groups tend to work pretty well. Is because it allows you that insight, maybe through sharing or hearing someone else's sharing or just being heard, and then you hear yourself better and you get that shift of like, I can change, or this is possible, or I see why I was doing that. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. And this information theoretic explanation also really ties in very well with the fact that these things are operating on this very subtle level, because if in chaos theory, you know, people have heard of the butterfly effect, right? So in these large chaotic systems, like in weather systems, you know, a very subtle thing like the flapping of a butterfly's wing 1,000 miles away, if it's exactly at the right moment and the right time and it's exactly perfect, it could create a huge effect and then, you know, turn into a hurricane or whatever. And in the same way, if you get in homeopathy, it can be the most subtle, the most tiny of signals, but if it's exactly, precisely correct, it can cause a huge shift in the energetic systems of the body. So, and it's, you know, people are saying too, like Charles Eisenstein, I was talking to you about him when we were talking a few weeks ago. He said, you know, everything we're doing now in this world to shift it is like brute force. It's like allopathic drugs. It's like forcing things to happen, you know. But maybe the shift that we need is going to be caused by something very much more subtle like this, that's just the right thing. And it's hard to know what it is. But that's why a small act of kindness or something can cause a huge shift in the world, because of the same principle.
That's right. So. And I think that we can actually, you know, I think of synchronicity is coming in two flavors. It either happens spontaneously, like the dream you talked about with the beetle and the scarab, from some, you know, maybe unconscious vibration that we were holding in our awareness. Or it can be created synchronicity, basically, which is something that yoga philosophy talks about, not in those terms, but that if you meditate and you do certain spiritual practices, that you're going to have more and more synchronous experiences. You're going to have more psychic experiences, more expanded awareness. And I think what you were just saying, Amy, about how like the tiniest little thing can create a shift, I think that synchronicities are happening to us all the time, and we're not cultivating our awareness to attune to that vibration of what's happening. Has that been your experience too?
Yes, yes. I think that's like one of the big things. I have a teacher I study with, and one of the things he really stresses is to get ourselves to notice this stuff is happening constantly, and the information is coming to us constantly. And, you know, my question is, when you notice the synchronicity too, what does it mean, you know? What is it telling you? I don't know the answer to that, but, like, I do know that in times of my life when I've experienced really a lot of them, then, you know, important things were happening at that time. Like when I met my husband or got a job or something, that at least we should pay attention. Pay attention, that's the only thing I could say. I had a interesting synchronicity just happened to me yesterday. It was just, I don't know if this was a synchronicity, but it was very peculiar, where I was reading and I needed some bookmarks. I didn't have any bookmarks. I went into the garbage, and there was some card, like I had gotten some flyer from Stanford, and it was on cardstock. So I said, I'll cut up this cardstock and to make it into bookmarks. It was like a little 5x7 kind of piece of card. So I'm cutting it up. I make 5 bookmarks. I go to stick it into the book. I look at the bookmark, and at the top of the bookmark is a picture of me taken from when I was a student at Stanford in the late 1970s.
Wow.
I was in shock. I'm like, what? I didn't even notice. It was like the car was a montage of pictures of students from the past.
It's interesting how these things can happen all the time, all around us. And even little things sometimes can have very powerful meaning and shift. I'm aware that we're almost to the end of our hour. And I wanted to make sure that everyone knew that Amy has 2 websites for her 2 books. ImpossibleCure.com is her book on homeopathy. And then she has a fascinating book on spirituality called Active Consciousness. And that website is ActiveConsciousness.com. And you can go check out the books and listen to some other talks that she's done on these topics.
I also have this blog. I have my blog, amylansky.com. And by the way, my Active Consciousness book actually even talks much more about this subject than Impossible Cure, about the synchronicity stuff, if people are interested in that.
Well, great. So I wish that we had had like 5 hours to talk about this. I think you and I could explore so much more, but I'm really grateful that you were able to come here, Amy, and share with us a little bit about what has inspired you for these many years, your insights into homeopathy and healing and synchronicity and spiritual awareness. And I want to let everyone know that my website is awakeningself.com, and you can subscribe to my newsletter there as well and find out about upcoming shows. But also I have a retreat coming up in May that I'm excited about, and I'm writing a book. So you can stay tuned to Awakening Self Radio and AwakeningSelf.com, where it's dedicated to awakening the divine in you. So thank you again, Amy, for joining us, and
thank
all of you who are
so
listening
much,
today.
Connie.
I look forward to sharing time with all of you again, exploring our divine nature.